Here we go once again with another edition of Political QRM. News and information you can use, because if you can't use it, you are a Bolshevik weenie. Go listen to somebody else.
Welcome to another edition of Political QRM. As Lou has said, he does such great beginnings to the podcast. Congratulations, Lou. I like the way you do that. I'm Ian Marie. Lou's there. And today we have a special guest with us. And Lou, could you please tell us who this gentleman is?
Yes. I don't know about gentlemen.
Okay,
but this,
I'm trying to be nice.
This individual, you know, the person of interest here, happens to be my brother Al, and we're going to put together, you know, a bit of a show today. What do you think?
I think it sounds great. Hey, more the merrier. And from what I understand, Al's, I'd like to hear his opinion on some of the things that's going on in the world today, too. Get a different perspective.
Like John McCain.
Oh, don't even get me started with John McCain. I'm sure Al will have a few choice words. However, Al, we don't curse.
No,
we don't curse.
I wrote it down.
Okay.
I wrote it down so I remember, too.
Yeah, well, actually, that's one of the reasons I wrote it down.
Yeah, you know, because if you put an Italian guy in handcuffs and he can't speak.
Hey, Al, you're going to have to get closer to the microphone because I can't hear you too well.
I'll move the mic.
Yes, please.
Okay.
Ah, that sounds better.
All right, muchy-muchy.
So we have here so many things that have happened over the past week. I mean, we've had that hurricane hit Houston over and over again. Yesterday, North Korea decides that they want to up the game. And so they had that hydrogen bomb test. Isn't that lovely? And
after they threw a missile across Japan's airspace.
That's right, Japan's airspace. I don't understand why they think they can get away with this, because even China has condemned them.
I don't know that he does think he can get away with it. I got to tell you, I think he's just a complete and total kook. You know, it's like he's like Kook Jong Dud. You know, he's got to understand that, yeah, okay, he can launch a missile, he can hit something here and something there, and he's got to know that within, I don't know, 15, 20 minutes, you know, that entire section of North Korea will cease to exist.
Well, does he?
You know what?
Does that even?
The problem is
what?
I'm sorry, Anne Marie.
No, go ahead.
Let you go. I think the problem is mainly you've got a kid playing army. Okay, this guy has never grown up. He's got the intelligence of about a 3-year-old, and he's basically playing army, and he's got all these real men that he moves around and does all this stuff with.
Yeah.
So to him, this whole thing is fake.
His soul,
it's just playing soldier.
Yeah, his social maturity level is...
And to sit there and have rules that he's supposed to follow, whose rules? He follows his own. He's God, remember? When he was born, his father sat and told North Korea that a God was born.
That's true.
Okay.
What do they call him? Beloved leader or something?
Yeah, beloved leader, exactly. And that is part of the problem. The North Korean people, they believe that he is a god.
I disagree.
Some of them do.
Yes. From the time that they are born, they've pretty much been indoctrinated. And yes, some do manage to break away. Some do maintain some kind of contact with their other family, which is in South Korea.
Well, I have a different opinion on that. I think that the minute he does something, and I've said this before, his missile that went over Japanese airspace, as far as I'm concerned, it's because it didn't work. It went astray. You know, he didn't aim that there. It's just where it ended up. You know,
it's possible.
And with that said, I think that once the if the I don't know, what are we up? F-35s, 22s, 18s, 15s, 16s, all these different aircraft, B-2s, B-1s, 130s, 141s. I think that within 15 minutes of the cloud actually settling down,
right,
if they blow a hole in the landmine field across the, you know, DMZ and the 38th parallel, I think the big sign is going to say, will the last person leaving North Korea turn out the light? One light, yes, indeed. They only got one light. You know. So I think that's part of it. I really do, and I think that we a few weeks ago when a lot of this other stuff took place, we were talking about strategic patience, which was the big strategic move by the United States and everybody else. Was strategic patience, and it didn't work. And a few weeks ago, the president issued a statement saying, we're going to drop fire and fury on you like the world has never seen. And I don't know why, but he doesn't believe it.
No, he doesn't believe it because he thinks that he's untouchable. I honestly think because of his connections with China, and don't forget his connections with Iran, I honestly think that he believes he is untouchable. And but China right now is getting a little bit aggravated. They have condemned that. You know, Ambassador John Bolton said that if any diplomacy will only add to this, the time for diplomacy is ended. And I have to agree with him. We have to start taking measures. What measures, I do not know at this point. But something's going to have to be done. I honestly think, see, this is the thing. This man knows, basically, he can get away with it because the world does not want another war. So basically, what they're going to do is say, oh, he's nuts, he's crazy, and he's going to keep lobbing these things. I think he's doing part of this is just to irritate people. I honestly think so, because that's how nuts he is. But one of these things is going to go astray, and it is going to hit Japan. Or it is going to hit South Korea, or it's going to hit Guam, and then all hell's going to break loose. And
the Philippines,
I don't think that China is doing enough at this point. I think they could be doing a lot more. Yeah, but they're not.
You hit on it before when you said that you just defied everybody and went ahead with another nuclear test. Now, the biggest problem that everyone has is he still has, give or take, 58 more rockets that engines that he can sit there and fire off at any time. And the problem that everyone has is you've only got 15 minutes worth of notice that one's gone up and, oh, by the way, it's nuked.
Yeah, that's okay. True. I mean, there was no notice at all.
Yeah. The way they didn't. Yeah.
Well, the Air Force did, in their credit, they did shoot down a ballistic missile in a test the other day. Mm-hmm. And he's got to look at that and go, holy cow. You know, he's got to look at that and say, oh, if they shoot it down, on the launch pad or something like that, it's going to hurt.
I don't know what his goal is on this. I really don't.
You step into a funny area. If you shoot it on the pad and it hasn't been launched yet, it's not a threat.
But if it is
in the air and it's now a threat, you're actually in defense taking something out.
Well, Japan right now is thinking, and they're actually thinking maybe they should do a first strike scenario in some way. And I don't know how, but something's going to happen to be done with this little guy.
I was glad you brought up the connection with Iran, because when you look at, I think he fancies himself something like an Ayatollah.
I would, yes. That's an excellent comparison.
He's not just a political leader. He's also the spiritual guidance of all those millions of North Koreans, because, I mean, face it, regular religion doesn't fly there. It's a communist country.
That's right.
So the only religion they're allowed is to worship him, his father, and his grandfather.
That's it. They are the gods. If you take a look at... Yep. I've been taking a look at a lot of videos on North Korea by people, like a Russian crew went in there, and you actually saw them. What happened was they also had a secret camera. So what they were doing is they were setting up, the North Koreans were setting up, things in a hospital or a factory, and they would point to people and say, okay, you say this, you say that, you're the leader here, you're the manager, whereas these people weren't. And you'd say what we have to accomplish, and you're looking at this stuff going, oh my God. Everything up in North Korea right now, I mean, it's everything's staged. Everything is just staged. And what happens is that he lives off, well, let's face it, he's living off of their fear. He's living off of their fear. Because there are so many people that have been put into these work camps, and they die. It's horrible. It's horrible.
The kid is... What's he? He's in his 30s. He's 150 pounds overweight.
There you
he's
go.
Got gout.
He's got something.
You know, because he just lives. Yeah, he's got gout. You know, I mean, I've seen it in several places. You know, but that's what happens when you don't feed your people, but you eat all the rich foods. You know, you end up with gout. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the people 100 yards outside his little palatial estate, they're not getting gout. Hell, they're not getting food.
Okay.
So, you know, I agree with you. I think everything in North Korea is staged. Here's another question.
What?
North Korea has not been involved in an actual military scenario in pushing hard on 60 years.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Where did all those generals get all those medals?
That's another
you
thing.
You see them lined
do.
Up in the action?
Wait, I know, but
they
that's another.
Have their
that's
jacket
another.
Extended.
I know. I know. They're like from the top to the bottom of the jackets, all these medals.
They look like Mexican privates. You know what I mean?
Decoration is decoration.
Yeah.
You know, just for paying homage.
That's right.
Yeah, I guess.
They rewarded things, yes, for their loyalty.
Yeah. Their loyalty?
Yeah.
They did something right, and
every
they got...
Every year
you know,
that they prove and establish that they are
that's true.
Part
that's,
of the party...
That's a
they
good point.
Get, you know, like... In our military, every year we have to prove we're capable of fighting. We have to prove that we're capable of doing things. So therefore, we're tested. We're this, we're that, and you know, it's the same thing there. Your loyalty. If he doesn't like your loyalty, you get shot. Otherwise, you get a new ribbon.
Hold that thought about our military, Al, because we're going to get back to that. Okay.
Yes.
And it's not pleasant. It's not pleasant. I don't know. So where North this is going to go on North Korea, I have no idea. I have no idea because I don't know what he wants. Does he want... Perhaps he wants another Korean conflict in which North Korea is declared the winner.
Oh, that's what he wants. But
because don't forget, this
gets,
basically
you know,
ended
unified.
As a stalemate. You know, it's a cessation of hostilities. You know,
yeah,
really
the,
was,
the unified
the war,
peninsula
war really
thing.
Wasn't ended. There was no surrender. I mean, because you know in a war, usually somebody wins, folks. This is cessation of hostilities, and that's all it was.
If you're in South Korea as a soldier, Marine, airman, whatever, and you know on a work detail and you smash your hand with a hammer,
right?
You know, it's still combat zone. You can get a Purple Heart for that.
Okay.
You know, I mean, you really can't get a Purple Heart for smashing your hand. You know, but if you had some sort of action taking place, because it happens all the time, skirmishes happen over there all the time.
Right.
And, you know, but I honestly think that that we're going to end up seeing some step on it. And I mean, when I say step on it, I mean on him. Not on us, not on South Korea, not on Guam, not on, I think somebody's going to, whether it's the Mossad, whether it's the KGB, whether it's the whatever Chinese version of it is, we're going to wake up one morning and he's going to be found dead in his bedroom. And there won't be anybody around.
He died in the night. You know, he went to go and stand by his father and grandfather, right?
That, mm-hmm.
That's good press there. I would love to see that happen, but you have to look at the people who are closest to him. There are people there. I mean, there are generals and stuff that believe as he does, and I think that they would die for him. There is always, when you have somebody in this position, there are always people around them who will gladly die for him because they're just as stupid and insane, and they will protect him. So it's going to be really difficult to try to get to this guy.
Well, I don't know. But if they were to do that, you know, again, whichever agency, you know, did it, because there are guys out there working for some of these agencies that'll take the bullet for the mission.
True.
So that said, you know, they go in and they do this, and I'm telling you, all those guys with the hats that look like Super Mario Brothers, you know, all those generals with all those medals, I would be willing to wager that a phenomenal quantity of them will just say, oh, thank God. They'll tear their clothes off, and they'll just go running across the 38th parallel, and that would be that. I did all the people on the trucks with the, you know, with the missiles on them and stuff at the edge of the DMZ are going to say, the heck with this. I'm out of here.
I would agree with that most of them will disappear. The main problem that they have, of course, is he demonstrates, even with his own family, if they do something he doesn't like, he just executes it.
That's true.
You know, so that's family member. If he doesn't care about his family, you think he's going to care about the final family member? No.
That's true.
I got a question here. Since he has readily sat and admitted that we have never come to a truce or peace, that we're still at war. He claims it directly. We are at war with the United States and South Korea.
And the UN.
So therefore, would we be so wrong to sit down and answer that with, well, we're going to drop a few missiles at ourselves? Technically, if he's declaring we're still at war, we're at war.
That's a good point. I agree with it. I agree with you on that. Yeah,
that's an answer.
But my question is, who does it? Should it be us who does it, or should it be South Korea? Because they have their own military. But it depends on who does it. You know, South Korea, I think South Korea and Japan can get away with it, lobbing a few, because they're trying to look after their own people. I think that if we do it, we will be accused of, fomenting a war. You know, fanning the flames. I think if anybody does anything, it should be South Korea and United States stay out of it. Japan, United States, stay, you know, everything. Stay on the ground, everything.
See, part of the problem that you have there when you add Japan to the mix is this. Japan occupied Korea for 60 years, okay? And they were brutal to those people. Most of the people of Korea went to China because they couldn't stay in, they were getting killed off.
That's true.
They weren't allowed to practice any, they had no weapons. They were not allowed to practice any form of self-defense or anything.
What about
if
the brutality?
If they did, they were executed.
What about the brutality?
Right? So, you have a retaliatory situation between Korea itself, not just North Korea, but all of Korea and Japan. So that's probably why the guy doesn't mind lobbing a few over the top of Japan.
I think that the Unified Peninsula plan is going to be important here, because I wouldn't put it past the PRC to do it. Not Japan, not South Korea, not Malaysia. I wouldn't put it past the PRC to do it. You know, saying, you know what, we've had enough, and if we wait long enough, and the UN comes in, and the United States comes in, and Japan comes in, and South Korea comes in. Whereas, if we take care of this, we can just take over the whole peninsula.
But we're allies with South Korea. And if they do...
South Korea has the other issue where just Seoul by itself... 25 million people live in Seoul.
Mm-hmm.
He sits there and dumps one right there, which is a nice, easy throw. They could sit and lob one in over the border. All right? You're going to make 25 million people glow in the dark for like the next 50,000 years. So that's another piece. And we have a good population of U.S. citizens
right there. The 3,500 soldiers, sailors, and Marines are
in the top. I think it's 30,000.
30,000, there you go. Yeah, that's more like it, 30,000, because we've got about 40,000 Americans right there in the Seoul area that are civilians, and they're civilian dependents of the military that are there. So, you know, you talk to a good quantity of Americans sitting there.
Yep. But you know, I could see the PRC doing this, and
but then they're going to get destroyed.
See them feel like, well, no, but the thing is, if China does this, takes him out, right, and starts executing the people who actually would be loyal to the Trump,
okay,
you know, I think what we'd see is another thing. We'd be looking at the South Korean section of the Korean Peninsula. I think you'd see another Macau, another Hong Kong. I don't think it would be lockstep, you know, Chairman Mao communist. I think they, because Seoul and so many of the other cities over there are heavy manufacturers.
Yes.
And the Chinese would say, okay, we pay you, you do this, you do that. And now everybody's going to eat. And everybody's going to have medical care, and everybody, and the people in both Koreas are going to be like, yeah, this is great.
I don't know.
Well, even France itself is drifting away from communism to the point where they're now, I mean, come on, socialism is a piece of what they're living with, but they're getting more into our type of commerce. They are learning that. You mean China? Yes, China.
Yeah, but. But I think what basically they're doing is they're using capitalism in order to advance communism. That's what's happened. Just remember that. They are communists to the core, but they will use capitalism to advance communism.
Right. It's actually, though, when you think about it, it's the only way communism can actually survive. You have to go capitalist in order to support it.
That's true.
Communism by itself cannot be supported.
People asked me years ago in the late 80s, early 90s, they say, well, gee, Lou, when did communism, socialism in the Soviet Union, when did that actually die? I said 1917.
Exactly. Exactly. It never was good for the country. It never was.
But we time and time again, we've had many examples of why it fails. Even country, England, you know, Canada, any place where you have anything that's socialized.
Quasi-social.
Yeah, or quasi-social. They eventually, you know, Margaret Thatcher said it best. Yeah, socialism only works until you run out of the other man's money.
That's true.
That's all it's doing.
And Venezuela and Cuba and, you know,
Venezuela,
other places.
Jeez, even the soldiers are hungry now. There isn't enough food down there for the military. Oh, yeah. It's bad.
Yeah, they killed all the snakes in the jungle. They've killed all the tapirs in the jungle. They've killed all the hamsters and gerbils. They've killed all
they've
the dogs.
Killed all the zoo animals, all the, too. All the zoo animals are gone.
Yeah.
It's disgusting. I think basically what we're agreeing here is that we have no idea what North Korea is going to do. We have no idea how this is going to, you know, work. We have no idea what's going to happen. And there were so many scenarios here, you know, whether China takes a role or Japan or South Korea, or North Korea just says the heck with it and starts lobbing at them all over the place, South Korea and Japan.
I don't think North Korea knows what North Korea is going to do.
Good point. So I think, well, we could probably put a chart up and put bets on what's going to happen at this point.
The only way you can actually predict what's going to happen in North Korea is he has yet to have had a significant emotional event. Someone has to cause that significant emotional event to take place, because without that, you cannot alter a person's way or mode of thinking.
Well, I had a good idea. I think we brought it up last time, Henry. I think instead of going and killing him,
shoot the guy next to him.
No.
Go in there. Blood on him. That's good enough.
You go in there and you gas the room.
Yep.
You know, they all pass out. You tie up all the generals and you bind them and you gag them and you put them over in a corner. And you take one Marine, one SEAL, one Ranger, one Green Beret, whoever. And you take a big, like a cricket paddle,
Made in USA, yeah. Get them up over somebody's knee and get put it up on YouTube.
Oh, my God, shame. You want to talk about shame? Oh.
And then just, you know, tie him back up, put the gag on his mouth, tie him back up, and gas the place again on your way out the door, then go get extracted. In the meantime, up on YouTube is here's Kim Jong-un getting paddled with a big paddle that says Made in USA on it. You know?
Okay.
You know what? That would sound violent, and, you know, but it would be embarrassing.
Yeah, oh, and that's God, your significant
approval. Yes.
Yes.
But I personally, I'm the type that believes we should take one of our nice long-range snipers, stick a mine on out there at a nice event, and you sit down and call his personal cell phone. You dial right in on that center. You sit down and say, yo, hey, Kim, baby, here's what we're going to do. See the guy sitting right next to you? Watch this. And a nice blood spot all over him. So, now, that could have been you, but we're just letting you know ahead of time. See, we just gave you a warning.
See,
and now you got all this mess all over you. You know, why don't you try to roll out?
The only thing wrong with that is our intelligence community is so messed up right now, I don't think we could find what his phone number is, you know? Okay? I don't think we could figure it out. No, you know what I mean. I mean, I don't think we could get really close. So, wait a minute. Before we go on, though, I think Al should give a very short, you know, tell us a little bit about yourself. Because the listeners know about Lou's experience and my experience, but I understand you also have a very interesting background, and that's the reason you're on here. So just
check your test.
Okay, check. Don't get into the check. Listen, I really would like to live tomorrow, folks. I mean, come on.
Rewards of a misspent youth.
You know? Oh, you go.
In a nutshell, I've been involved with the government or governments of quite a few of the countries since 1967.
You're a Marine?
Yes, I'm a Marine. Notice I didn't say I was a Marine.
Oh, nope.
I am a Marine.
I know.
I've worked presidential duty. I've worked... I've worked for Great Britain. I spent 5 years TDY Great Britain. Coming out of my third tour in Vietnam, I went there. Actually, on one of those things where I was about to be discharged for medical reasons by our military, and they didn't feel that I was going to be able to be salvageable for the situations that I used to work in.
Mm-hmm.
And instead, friends that I had made in Great Britain because of certain things that had happened said, we'll take
them. Oh, that's
so nice. So I ended up going to work for them for about 5 years, which was very nice because I got to meet some really great people, especially friends of theirs that ended up becoming President and Mrs. President of the United States and in 81, so that was the Reagans. That were very good friends with Mark Thatcher, and I'm sorry, I was just the fact that we're bringing up Margaret Thatcher, I was very, very disappointed in the British people and the way they reacted at her death.
Mm.
I thought that was completely out of character for the Brits. That could not have been more than a handful really speaking out, as far as I was concerned, because the Iron Lady was the Iron Lady, but she kept them.
Well, I look at it that way as well, but I look at it from a slightly... we're up against the same thing now, where we've got this minority of people, you know, a few thousand people all over the country, whether it's in Berkeley, California, whether it's in Seattle, whether it's in Chicago, or now we've got an outfit in Philadelphia. Antifa people. These are like when Margaret Thatcher passed and the reaction. I mean, I had my annual celebration this year. It was 20 years since Her Highness Princess Diana of Wales passed. And the way they treated her,
Yes.
Was absolutely horrible. You know, so when you look at the way these people treated the Iron Lady, when you look at the way these people treated Diana, Princess of Wales, and you look at these things and you say, okay, then they turn around and start doing it to the First Lady.
Yep.
You know, and President, you know, oh, he didn't hug a baby.
Oh.
Huh?
Well, that's okay.
You know, oh,
Obama didn't even go down to Louisiana when they had all that flooding, right? But candidate Trump did.
Yeah, ironically, there you go. I've actually kind of been, for the past week, or almost 2 weeks, I've been kind of out of the network as far as even looking at anything newsworthy. Other than I did follow a bit of the, you know, the hurricane and that. The few things that I got out of that, they were more concerned over the fact that the First Lady wore high heel shoes instead of wearing boots. Now, if she'd have worn boots, they'd have said, bitched at her for wearing boots. So,
yeah.
So it doesn't matter what these people do. They're, at this point in time, it's been established. They are going to complain about Trump and you know, the president and the First Lady no matter what they do.
Well, look, hey, if she wasn't there, high heels, boots, sneakers, or otherwise, if she wasn't there, they would have torn it up like, oh, where's the First Lady?
Let me tell you something. Half those women out there are probably jealous that they can't wear those heels like she does. I mean,
come on, the woman was a model, for God's sake. She could walk in them things blindfolded. And
I am so glad that she didn't. She basically told them, you know, her spokesperson said, you know, this is not what this is all about. You know, basically, if you have nothing else to talk about, you know, things are pretty bad. She did. And but the one who
mine,
what?
A friend of mine got married the other day, Saturday.
Yeah.
Right? And it was in a nice little church, but the reception was at the Tower of London.
Mm-hmm.
Because she's got juicy.
Yeah. Last week. Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah.
So you know, she had some juice with the Raven Master. So she got the place and didn't cost her anything, which is kind of neat. But, you know, I saw just a few weeks ago when the President and First Lady were over there and they were going to the Tower of London and they were going to Buckingham and they were going to Kensington and this, that, and the other. She didn't even glance at her feet on cobblestones, on grass, didn't even look down. And the woman who complained the loudest, I forget her name, you'll probably get to it faster than I will. The woman from Vogue.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you mean woman? Wait a minute. Really?
You really want
to use that title for her?
I don't have a DNA test. You know, I mean, what's his name from the one network saying, oh, you know, now we've got proof that Michelle Obama's he-she or whatever you want to call that. You know, I'm sorry. There isn't that much tinfoil in the world.
I don't know about that. Wait a minute.
Well, you've got this woman and you've got Michelle Obama and everybody's complaining about the First Lady getting onto off of Marine One and onto Air Force One in heels.
Lynn Yeager.
And she's got to be 80.
Damn close.
I didn't look up. And her clothes look like her lipstick is a pattern from the Tang Dynasty in China from the 7th century. And it looks like she went and knocked over some bag ladies in 7th century China and took their clothes.
But you know what it's amazing is that they have the nerve to call her a fashion editor? I mean, God in heaven, really? You're kidding.
Well, she's been with both. Years.
She's been with Vogue for 30 years now, okay? And she is, I am going to find out exactly how old this woman is, I think. Okay, now you said...
Fellas with an attitude, woman, ladies that are in the mood.
You know what, just as you know, by the way, I mean, if you consider what a lot of these people are wearing nowadays, fashion.
Yeah, right?
Then she fits right in. Okay?
You know what?
They definitely...
They don't even
not got a fashion sense.
nobody puts a year for her when she was born. Maybe she was hatched.
I don't know, it's
amazing. I mean, I'm looking at some of this woman's attire, and it's like, oh my god, this is amazing.
I just can't, look, a lot of our listeners know, Al knows, everybody knows that on top of being an amateur pundit, a professional gadfly, professional jerk, and all those other things, I'm also a bit of an amateur fashionista. And I got news for you.
Yeah.
Not fashion.
What? I'm sorry?
You know, if that's what you get, you know what? Go get one of those built-in bathrobes and some fuzzy slippers and, you know, go to your desk and sit there and type and stuff and leave the First Lady of the United States alone. You know, there was another meme that went floating across the internet, a woman standing there with one of those pink knit hats.
Oh, geez, don't get me started on that. Please don't.
You know, the word I won't use, but, you know, those pink knit hats, and she's dressed kind of slovenly, it's the wrong word, even sloppily. And, you know, she's got a signboard she's carrying saying that the First Lady wears clothes that are demeaning and insulting to women.
In what
and
way?
The left-hand side of the... Huh?
In what way?
Why, because she looks good?
Yeah. Well, because high heels are a patriarchy thing.
Oh, yes, and, I remember that. Well, are you kidding? Do you know what... Speaking as a woman, I can still do that. Do you know what...
Yeah.
I just suffered 3 weeks ago, 3.5 weeks ago, a really, really bad, and I still haven't recovered, sprained ankle because I had to wear heels. Okay? I did it in the name of
fashion.
That's
my fault.
Huh?
That's my fault.
No, it's not your fault. It's my fault.
It's my fault.
Why?
Oh, because I'm always teasing you to put your heels on.
No, are you kidding? Do you know how many sets of heels I have? And I never get to wear them. So I went to a benefit for a local opera company, and I wanted to wear heels, and I probably shouldn't have, and I basically fell off of them in a most embarrassing way. But as one woman said to me, grace under pressure. Yeah, that's the way I was. But heels, I mean, they make a woman feel fantastic. They do. And I can understand why Melania, my God, the woman just carries them off with the greatest of ease. Yes.
I can tell you there's actually a formula to determine your perfect heel height.
Uh-huh. Mine's 2.5 inches. And I went to 2 3/4.
Okay, well,
that was
if
my
you
problem.
Stay with 2.5, you should be fine.
Yeah, I went with
you know, 2.5 or even a little bit lower. You don't want to go down too far because then you're not really, you know, you're not saving anything. Mm-hmm. But I mean, you know, and then there was an article about don't take your heels off. You know, you get up in the morning, you go to work, you know, you put your heels on, you walk in the office, and then the first thing you do is go to your desk, you take them off, and you put your sneakers on.
Why?
You know, and it's like you're not doing your body any favors. Leave them on.
I love my
You know, heels. So, anyhow, you know, I mean, that is, hey, you know, here we've got these people picking on the First Lady because she wore heels. And you know what was a real killer was the day it came out. They were talking about it as if it was she had gotten off the aircraft and headed for Houston.
In Houston, that's right.
But
it
was actually getting on the aircraft, and she changed. Yes. Because, as I said, there's no way, shape, or form that you could go from Washington, D.C. to Houston, Texas and have enough time to take your heels off and put sneakers on. You can't do it. It's impossible.
That's the negative thing. But you know what was funny, too? Here we are, the governor of Texas, okay? He's had President, you know, Bush Jr., sat there from Texas, sitting there handling, well, that was Katrina that he handled. Then you have Obama.
Badly.
Well, then you have Obama handling Sandy badly, okay? What's the first words out of this guy's mouth? This is an A-plus job. This guy is on the ball. He's got FEMA on the ground. He's got military on the ground.
You know
he's
why?
Got the insulin on the ground. That, everything
you know
was in, you know.
Because before it came on shore, he had already declared a disaster area, and he already had the FEMA people down there. So that's why.
Exactly.
And you know why? Because he's a businessman. He's a businessman.
Right.
Yeah, and I get a kick out of. Do you remember Ray Nagin made those statements after Katrina?
Yes.
And he says we're gonna rebuild New Orleans as a chocolate city that it was. And,
yeah.
You know, that kind of thing. Well, he just got sentenced to 10 years.
I was just gonna say, isn't he in jail?
So I hope he's going to a chocolate prison. You know.
Yeah. But stupidity. Problem. I mean, look at the Houston mayor. I mean, here you have an area that gets hit, that's gotten hit by hurricanes in the past, mm-hmm. and he tells people to stay put because he didn't mm-hmm. want traffic jams on the highway. I'm like, you know what? You're mayor in a city that is subject to hurricanes, whether we get one 10 years from now or 2 weeks, another one 2 weeks from now. Don't you have an evacuation plan?
An exit route, yes, exactly.
They don't, because they're busy. They're busy using all their money and all their time and all their effort on sanctuary cities.
Do you remember when stuff happens, like on the East Coast and the South, how they have an evacuation plan? I mean, especially like for people like on Hilton Head Island and everything. I mean, they have one lane. Going into Hilton Head, but the other lanes and everything is all for exiting traffic. I mean, all over there.
All going out.
Yep.
I mean, and that's so difficult. Houston is a modern city. They have highways all over the place. You're trying to tell me that he could not have had an orderly exit? I mean, that's ridiculous. Well, I mean, they have the National Guard.
Isn't Houston the fifth largest?
I think it's the fifth or sixth largest.
The sixth largest in this country. As far as business and industrial area and developed, hell, they've got 6 million people that just in Houston.
Well, you got that other city right there on the coast down. It was, I guess it was south of Corpus Christi. I don't remember the name of the town. I remember
Galveston. Galveston.
Yeah, it was Galveston, I think. But that mayor said, "Okay, look, here's how it is. I'm telling you, get out. If you're going to be an idiot and you're not going to leave." At least take a magic marker and put your social security number on your arm.
Yes, so we can identify.
And they all left.
Yeah.
Yep.
They all left. You know, it's a question of how you say it. It's not what you say, it's what you don't say, right?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Again, you create a significant emotional event, people sit there and listen to it. That's all there is to it.
That's right.
But it's really a shame that they've gone that far. I haven't seen what happened. He did go down Saturday again, right? Yesterday he went down?
Yes, he did.
Yes, he did go down.
I know he was down there yesterday. Him and Melania.
I know the vice president was down there towards the end of the week helping
the
out.
The vice president, and here's the thing. The vice president, Pence, is down there. And he started helping. He took his coat off and he grabbed the shovel. I mean, this man,
Trump actually was criticized again yesterday. Here he is. He's helping. You know, he's saying hi to people. He's hugging people. He's helping with food. He's helping with all this stuff. And then when somebody interviewed him, he said, look, the people here right now are happy. He said they're dealing with it and everything. And he got all this criticism. Oh, yeah, people are happy because they just lost their livelihood and everything that they have. But you know what? These people that are criticizing him, what they don't understand is that these people who appear happy, who are smiling, they're basically embracing life. They know it's really bad. Okay, they do. They know what's happened to them is horrible, but they're going to go on. They're going to go on.
L'chaim,
exactly. But, you know, and I think what they're smiling at also is they see a president who actually cares, and the fact that help is already down there, and they're not, you know, they're not scrambling.
You know what? There was one other thing that was not really, really brought out by the news, and that was that after the 8 years we spent destroying civil rights,
right?
Okay, I mean, we set the country back 230 years because it took that long to get to where we were, and then he destroyed it in 8 years. Everybody hates everybody, but not there. Everybody came together, black, white, Hispanic,
everybody,
Asian, Indian, they all came together. Didn't matter what their levels
that's right.
were or
they
anything,
didn't,
they all got
yep.
together and helped.
They didn't say, "Oh, I'm not going to take you."
No,
and then then there was a lawmaker that got all annoyed because one of the ships, boats, whatever you want to call it, airboat from the Cajun Navy. Had a Stars and Bars flag hanging behind it.
No, that was one of Hillary's people, one of the people who were on her campaign.
Oh, that was?
Yes, she got her panties in a knot, folks. She really did. She was horrified. She had to go find her safe space. Seriously, she did.
Yeah, in the meantime, this boat with the Stars and Bars flag on the back of it has a dozen African American people in it from 2 to 82.
Yep. That's
you
true.
Know, and the guy throttles it up and gets them out of there.
Okay. Does anybody know that flag was a battle flag?
No.
No, they don't realize it.
They don't realize that. And the Confederacy had a lot of different flags. But they're too stupid. Mm-hmm. The one thing, you know how you just said, Lou, that you know people aren't asking who you are in order to give you aid? Oh, yes. Liberal groups are. Let's take one of them. Lilith. You know, Lilith, that lovely little group. Well, they want to make mm-hmm. sure that anything that they get will go straight to women who need their abortions first.
Yeah.
Well, wait a minute. Birth control by use of abortion is definitely an out thing. You know? I don't think anyone should be responsible for paying for that type of birth control.
Well, no,
now,
I mean, they're taking donations, and they're just ensuring that none of this goes to people who don't fit in with their cause. And there are liberal groups around there that are trying to keep people who they do not approve of from receiving aid from them. Insane!
And BLM sent out a statement the other day saying, give your house to an African-American person. You know, you've got 20 years on the job, retire, and give your job to an African-American person. Or people of color, is what it said. You know, all these things, it's like,
you know,
don't leave your house to your kids. Leave your house to, you know.
Yeah.
Hot button. Come on, we've been playing affirmative action for how many years now? Since we got done with the 60s, we sat there and jumped into affirmative action. We were so busy sitting there setting up so that we want to show we're not prejudiced, we're not this, we're not that, and we're giving a 20%, 30% jump to any minority. Or, if you're a white male and you're testing for something, you've got to score 25% better than everybody else in order to get the job. Otherwise, they got the job.
That's true.
I mean, how long carry out that affirmative?
Well, it's fighting them. It's fighting them because of the fact that I saw a thing on one of the news channels that nowadays, if you're Oriental or if you're Asian, I'm sorry, African-American, you're Hispanic, now you really got to score high because the affirmative action pendulum has swung the other way.
Yes, finally.
And now there's too many women, too many Orientals, too many African-Americans, too many foreigners, too many, you know, Asians.
Yeah, I saw that girl. She was still in the school because she was white. She couldn't get in because of, or the other way around. I'm sorry. She was a minority. Still in the school. She couldn't get in because they had enough of them.
Yeah. So it's a pendulum. It's a pendulum swing.
Yeah. But there shouldn't be any kind of rating system like that. That should not exist.
So
if you have the money.
Let's get back to Houston, though. Okay. Now, one of the comments from overseas, that French magazine Charlie Hebdo, their cover depicts the Harvey victims as neo-Nazis, and they basically say they got what they deserved.
Yeah.
Isn't that nice? Gee, you know, France, next time
French
you have your...
That's the French and how they view us. They do not like us, never have, never will.
Well, let me tell you something. I'm not going to be so empathetic next time they have a terrorist attack over there.
No, but my point is this. They are a provocative magazine.
That's fine. They can be
jumped up and down. Most of the world jumped up and down when they got their building blown up because they published that picture of Muhammad.
But wait a minute. When you and I were looking at the people at Charlie Hebdo, were just people who were expressing an opinion, which is what we understand here in this country, okay? What they did was totally against Islam. So they were being punished for it, okay? Now, you and I understand that, okay? Now, I don't agree with them on this. I probably, you know, won't agree. I don't know. Let me put it to you this way. They can say it, but I don't have to agree with it. But then I'm not going to blow them up.
Well, here, how about this way?
I'm not going to kill anybody United over there. States, I can say they're idiots and go on.
The United States goes to everyone's aid. It doesn't matter where in the world it is. It doesn't matter whether it's a country we're even at war with, for crying out loud. We will go there and we will sit there and give them aid, humanitarian food,
medicine. Right.
We will help them in hurricane, you know, well, right. Earthquakes, everything else, all kinds
tsunamis
of
tsunamis.
Right. Yes, we do all that. Where's everybody helping us?
I know.
Has one country turned around and said, "Hey, man, we're going to send in"?
Actually, yes. Australia.
No, there was another one that did too.
God bless Australia. At least somebody.
Israel.
Israel, well, of course.
Well, I would expect Israel.
Well, I'm just saying they are. I mean, you know, they have to be given, kudos.
You know, like, look at the bill on this thing. They started out, they said it's going to be $64 billion worth of damage. Then they went to 80. Now they've doubled. They put it up to $160 billion. Mm-hmm. And somebody said, well, where are they going to get that money from? You know, well, it's real easy. The 178 countries that we give all that money to every year, why don't you turn around and say, okay, we'll give it to Israel because we've got to deal with them and they are our people there. We got to help them out.
Friends, right.
And we'll give it to Great Britain. But why are we giving it to China? Why are we giving it to Iran?
Saudi Arabia.
Let's try all the countries in Central and South America. So, I mean, you know how much we give these people? God in heaven.
Billions.
I heard one guy actually, I don't want to say it was Waters, but I want to say it was somebody on his program, actually finally turned around and said what I said a long time ago, when it's like, oh, how are we going to get Mexico to pay for this wall? Well, how about for every $100 you wire back to Mexico, it costs you $10?
Wait a minute. I said that long time ago, too. Because I had brought up numbers that said that $26 billion go from, $54 billion throughout the world, but $26 billion of that comes from the United States and goes into Mexico. All right?
Yep.
So, you know, just keep taxing it. I see no reason why the heck that they should, you know, get all that money.
And
wait a minute. Last year we gave them $175 million in foreign aid.
Yep.
So what are they doing with all this money? What are they doing with it?
They're partying hardy, I think. You know,
drugs. Over here.
And this is the thing. Now, I saw a thing today on the DACA thing.
Oh, yeah. Right? Let's talk about that. Let's start talking about DACA. Yeah.
Let's switch to this topic. Here we go with DACA, right? And, oh, they're productive, and, oh, they're safe, and, oh, they're nice, and, oh, they're this and that and the other thing. But they're here illegally.
You're breaking the law. You're here illegally.
So they're saying, oh, well, you know, if the president cancels it, you know, if the president modifies it.
He doesn't even have to cancel it. It automatically expires.
That's right. Yeah, that's it.
He just has to renew it. If he doesn't, oh, that's it.
They also said that all these quote-unquote DACA people are not exactly the pride of America either.
Of course. Well, here's the other thing. If this president just does what the former president who set this into motion, did, which was nothing. Actually did nothing. So then if this president does the same thing, why should he be guilty of causing them to lose their homes and stuff? He's going to just follow in the footsteps of his mentor.
My thing is this. You know, you've got these people here, these DACA people, these dreamers, I guess they're called. And you've got all these people coming from the Muslim world, and they're being brought into some of our cities and kind of a thing. And here's the part I have a problem with. And it's, look, I'm not incompassionate. My issue is that if you have to come here to get out of your country and you know, get a job, and et cetera, et cetera.
And don't turn our country into your country.
Well, not only that, but exactly. don't turn our country into your country, but go fix your own country.
Exactly.
See, that's the thing. That's the thing. I mean, we get all these liberals that turn to people like the three of us and say, well, you know what? We have to help these people. You know, they're just hurting. They need our help. They have nothing to eat. And I'm saying, well, why are they coming here? Why are you yelling at me? Why aren't you yelling at their president of their country or whatever?
Give them a rifle, a couple of hundred rounds. Give them a rifle, a couple of hundred rounds.
They're the ones that are responsible for their people. I don't want them here. Look,
Emily, absolutely. When you sit there and you say, okay, we want to, again, humanitarian aid. Yes, we'll bring in women and children, all right? And even at that, we're going to really vet the hell out of the women, because most of them are the ones that are sitting there creating the problem.
And then when you get things squared away, we're going to send them back.
I don't want any of them here, okay? As the grandchildren of people who came to this country in steerage, okay? And they crossed an ocean, and they went and they jumped through hoops. I have no empathy for these people. The press today was focusing on these two DACA kids who were in college and da. My question is, what sort of aid did they receive?
Yeah,
who did
right.
they
who
take it away from? And whose places did they take?
Well, that this other fellow that I saw, he's in New York City, and he's an immigration lawyer, but he's an illegal alien.
Oh, my
there
God.
There you go.
Wait a minute.
And Debbie says, how do you get to be a lawyer if you're an alien? Well, you take the bar. They don't ask you when you take the bar.
Wait a minute, you take that oath and it says that you will uphold the law of the state in which you practice and the country in which you practice. And by virtue of the fact he's here illegally, he has gone against both sets of laws. So to me, it's like you can't have a lawyer here who's an illegal immigrant. I'm sorry, you can't. And as a lawyer, you cannot defend them. So I want them out. I'm sorry. I want them out.
Yeah,
I don't care if your parents brought you here. I'm sorry, but your parents are illegal. And here you are living off the hard work of other people who are struggling to get their kids in college, who are struggling with medical bills. And this isn't fair. This is not fair.
They had a roundup 2-3 weeks ago. ICE had a roundup out in Long Island because of the pervasiveness of MS-13,
mm-hmm.
and they rounded up all these guys, and it's like, I'm sorry, how could you, no, it's not even sure, it's just like, you know, they're standing there, and they've got all these tattoos on their face, their ears, their neck, their back, their arms, their fingers, you know, it's like, there's no mistake about who they are, right? And then, you know, these other immigration attorneys say, oh, you're splitting up their families. Well, I got one quick answer to that. What's your address? Okay, let's go. And they go down there, pick them up, throw them in the bus, too. Bye.
That's right. You know, there's no reason why they should stay here. Sorry. You know something? If it's real love, if it's really love, they'll want to be together as a family. And that's what these two kids were saying. Well, you know, they're going to take our father away. They're going to take our mother away. Honey, you really want to be with your mom and dad? Go with them. I'm tired of this.
You know what? Here, this actually, I'll bring up one of the things. Remember the Marine that sat there and went down through San Diego? Mm-hmm. Instead of taking a U-turn, he missed it. He turned around, ends up, and he goes to make a U-turn.
Right.
And they nail him. He spent all that time in prison down there. They abused him. They chained him to his damn bunk, everything else, all right? And the president didn't step up and do jack about it. But
that's
it's okay
right.
that they sat there and screwed with one of our military.
That's right.
But it wasn't okay for us to sit there and deport illegals.
I know. I agree with you completely. I know. It's nonsense. And you have people like, and we have to change the subject here because I want to get on this, Ryan, who is trying to force President Trump to continue the policies of Obama. I mean, you know, whose back pocket is he in? Chamber of Commerce? What?
Yeah, right. Exactly.
You know, it's just like, I want to get rid of him. It bothers me that he's third in line.
There you go. That's the...
Well, you know, Ryan, when they first put his name in the hat, you know, for Speaker of the House, I was like, oh, not that clown.
Yep.
But yeah, they gave it to him, and he's been there since. Yep. And
you know, if he's not careful, if he's not careful, he's not going to have a job in about 18 months.
I hope he doesn't, because Nealon, the guy who was running against him, who's a businessman, he's a big Trump supporter. Now, he did it last time. He ran against him last time, and he really did not get the traction that he needed. But I think this time he is. If he defeats Ryan, now, granted, he's going to have to go up against a Democrat. But but then you have to take a look. What's the difference between Ryan and a Democrat? Nothing. Right?
Nothing. Well, there's the problem. There's nothing really between most Republicans anymore and Democrats.
And that is coming to light.
None of them will do anything for the people.
That is coming to light.
So here, and the proof in the pudding is, while they knew that their votes and their passing of a bill would be shot down by the president that was there for 7 years, they repealed Obamacare. Mm-hmm. Now they got a president they know will sign the bill. They won't repeal it.
That's right.
So who is doing who to, you know, I mean, who's zooming who here, right?
That's right.
It's about time that the American people woke up and
I think we're awake.
We need to sit there and implement the rights of recall in all states, not just a few. You need to be able to recall the people. If they're not doing your job, then you should be able to pull them back and then you're out of the job.
Europe calls the lack of confidence vote.
Yeah.
You know, as far as I'm concerned, you know, and I know I got a lot of people disagree with me in this, but as far as I'm concerned, term limits.
Absolutely.
Oh, no, I agree with you on that. And also repeal the 17th Amendment, which gives us the right to vote for senators. You know, in the past, they were picked by the governors of the states and the state legislatures.
Well, you know what?
And I think they should go back to that.
In an interim scenario such as McCain, you know, because he's going to have to step down, you know, he's going to have to at least, you know, abdicate, you know, someone's responsibility for at least a certain amount of time.
He's going to hang on if he has to be hooked up to stuff and use his nose to sign. Honest to God, I don't think he wants to go anywhere anytime soon.
Let
me just tell you something. McCain and Romney, both of them, they are so, their jealousy of Trump is so telling by their comments.
Yes.
Because here these two...
Flake.
No, wait a minute. No. I picked McCain and Romney because those are the two that ran for president. Okay? And they... Now, come on. You know darn well that both McCain and Romney, this was in their head when they ran for the Senate and governor and everything like this. And McCain has been in that position for how many years now? And, you know, he didn't get what he deserved. And here comes Donald Trump out of nowhere. Just completely bowls over 16 other candidates and takes the presidency.
Well,
so there's a lot of jealousy there. I mean, deep-seated jealousy.
When Al Gore lost the primary, you know, he cried for days because it was his turn.
But,
you know, he
same
actually
thing
stamped
McCain.
His feet.
Yep.
It's my turn.
Mm-hmm.
And Hillary, the same thing. Yeah. She was a shoo-in. She was guaranteed. She didn't even bother campaigning in five different states because she knew she had this lock, stock, and barrel. Well, you know what? The American people are free.
You know what, though?
The problem
thing is that, Hillary, she didn't campaign in those states because those were the states in which they had the voter fraud machine up and running. And if you notice that after the election, you know, what states were picked out to, you know, have the vote redone? It was the ones that
she did.
So it's like, come on. I mean, we're not that stupid, folks.
And the ones that refused to turn the voter rolls over to the federal government.
Right.
You know, it's all the same states.
Yeah.
Now, the other side of it is this. When Trump was running against her, in no way, and you saw this the night that he, in the morning, when it, the final tally came through that put him over the 270, all right, or 271. When that came through, it was like, really? There's no impression there like, oh my God, yeah, we did it. It was like, really? He had had no expectation of winning, none whatsoever, didn't put any real money out there, but the American people wanted him so bad because at least he was a fresh face. Well, he wasn't a government stooge to begin with.
True, I wrote that.
But you do know in 1992 he had an interview with, I'm trying to remember, was it Charlie Rose or somebody, one of those mainstream media people. But anyway, he was asked, would you ever run for president? And he looked them straight in the eye and said, you know, if things ever got really bad in this country, I would.
Like the Once and Future King, you know?
You know, and he did, still, you know, because he finally said, I can't do this anymore. This is the way this country is going is ridiculous. I have to do something.
Exactly. And where he scored the most points was non-political correctness,
right?
His anti-politics period, his way of talking to the people directly instead of letting the news dictate what he had to say.
Or instead of lecturing
these
them,
were
too.
All things. Yeah, and it was these things that actually got him elected, and whereas under normal conditions, any politician that had done anything like that would never have even dreamed of getting elected.
I would like to think that, you know, 100 years from now, right, out of the top 10 accomplishments of President Trump, I think one of the top 10, and it's silly, but I still see it happening. I see the altercations between him and Jim Acosta from CNN being actually written in the history books.
Oh, yeah. And you know, everybody's so upset because he pardoned Joe Arpaio. I mean, everybody's having heart attacks over that, including
that's
McCain.
A joke. The guy was doing his job under federal law.
Right.
He was following the law, and they turned around and rammed it to him because he wasn't following what they were telling him to break the law.
And McCain had the nerve to say that Arpaio was acting above the law.
And then he said,
"No love lost between Arpaio and McCain, anyway."
Oh yeah, I know. But you know, when Obama pardoned drug dealers, okay, and terrorists. Remember the guy from the FALN? I mean, where was McCain on this? Yes, a Chelsea Manning, whatever the hell.
Well, that wasn't a part. That was
commutative sentence. Still out, but. Yeah. When Obama did all this, Ryan said nothing. McCain said nothing.
Nothing.
He put drug dealers back on the street and terrorists, and they said nothing. And Donald Trump pardons a man who should not have been charged in the first place, and all of a sudden, oh my gosh.
Yeah, right. Yeah. You know, the worst part about it is, I'm sorry, I 8 years really bittered me a lot about my U.S. government and the way it runs, and it added to the fire of how we throw away our veterans, okay? Added to that fire. We just throw them away, you know.
But the president now has lived up to some of his campaign promises.
If he does, and that's where one of the things I was going to say, and I've said this from day one, if Trump does only half of what he promised to the black people and to the rest of the people of this country, if he only does half, there will never be another Democrat ever elected again, because he will have broken the mold for black vote to Democrats.
That's true.
Automatic.
That's true.
Broken the mold, and he will have gotten people off.
Johnson is the one who put that mold in place.
Yes, because when you initiate wide open welfare and everything else, and you stack people onto those roles and say, hey, we put you there, we're feeding you, we're this, you're buying their votes. I don't understand why no one has gone to the Supreme Court and said, hey, if I walked up to the guy next to me in the voting booth and sat down and said, I'll give you $100 to sit there and tell you who to vote for, he'd get arrested if he sat there and took that money, and I'd get arrested for giving it to him. These assholes, pardon me, I know I shouldn't say that, but these guys sit there and they say, hey, we're going to sit there and take care of you. And the only way they take care of them is by keeping them on the welfare rolls. You've got 5 and 6 generations of family members on the rolls. Well, yeah, now we're living every 13 years.
That's
so you've got, you know, they're having babies and going on, and they're staying on the welfare rolls. That's their mode of income. That's their job. I'm on welfare. I vote for the Democrats.
Isn't that
well, I think we're starting to see an awful lot of change in that because there are a lot of people, African American people, sports figures, literature people, economics people, Tom Sowell and Walter Williams and people like that. We're starting to see, I think, some of that pendulum starting to swing back. Because remember what the president said on the campaign trail. What have you got to lose?
Yeah, exactly.
That's right.
That's why it's he does 50%. We will never see another Democrat elected, period, in any office, because it will have really shown that these people have done nothing. They promise everything for your vote. They get your vote. You don't hear from them for 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
Then they turn around and promise everything and get your vote. And you don't hear from them for 4 years.
And Kamala Harris is seriously considering a run for 1600 Pennsylvania in 2020, and I'm like, sorry, she doesn't have a snowball's chance in hell.
Right, yeah.
Her big claim to fame is being quote unquote the other woman, and being rude, interrupting testimony in front of.
Wait a minute, back that up. What do you mean the other woman?
Oh yeah, that's how she got where she's at.
No, tell me. I didn't know this. Tell me.
She had an affair with a married. Mayor who became became something else in Washington. I'm trying to remember his name. They called him not Slick Willie, but something Willie. And he was a mayor in I think Baltimore, and then he became a congressman or a state senator or something. And so she was the other woman. That's one claim to fame. The other claim to fame is that she is rude. You know, she sits there on the committee, and people have to stop her from talking because, you know, she, I'm reclaiming my time. What do you mean reclaiming it? You never yielded the time in the first place.
That's true, yes. I am familiar with the shenanigans.
You're asking people questions they don't get a chance to answer. Then finally, I don't remember who it was, said to the chairman of the committee, said, if I can't answer, I'm going home.
Yep.
You know.
Can I add a little sentiment to that?
Sure.
Okay. One of the things that I have watched, which I watch with amazement, all of these large inner city, big city, Chicago, D.C., okay? We'll just take care of the D.C. mayor. Do you remember when he was busted for cocaine dealing and what have you? He went to prison.
And they re-elected him.
Yeah, and they re-elected the guy when he got out of prison, for God's sakes. How stupid do you have to be?
Well, D.C. was it's never... D.C. isn't...
There you go. There you go.
It isn't.
Yeah. All right. So when you sit there and you are going to do stuff like that, what are you actually saying? You're saying that we don't care. We know the guy's corrupt. He's making money on us.
That's right.
But we don't care because we are getting whatever we want. We got the freedom to do this or do that. And that is where the problems are, right? You know, I said before about it's fantastic with Houston and all the funding and all these people working together. But in these cities, you do not have those relationships at all. As a matter of fact, I can remember, the 2 years that Obama ran for president, you had, the New Panthers sitting down in Philadelphia at all of the election stations nightclubs.
Yeah,
now, I would have gone down and arrested them, and that would have been it, because that's a threat.
Here it is. It was Willie, just lost his name already, and he was the mayor of San Francisco and then became a California state assemblyman. And it was Willie something.
Brown.
They called him.
Willie Brown.
Willie Brown.
Yeah, Willie Brown.
Yeah, they called him something like Slick Willie or Untouchable Willie or something, and she was the other woman. She was what we used to call in the old days a homewrecker.
Oh my God!
You know,
yes.
And that's her claim to fame. That and being rude.
Being rude. Yes. does is, I'm going to get him impeached.
Yeah, her and Waters.
I'm
going to
get him impeached. Yes, I'm going to get him impeached. There's so many others that when you look at Jesse Jackson, the Reverend Jesse Jackson, and who's his sidekick, Al Sharpton, all right? Both of these guys went to prison, okay? They both
Jesse
went
Jackson
to prison.
Junior is one of them.
No, his senior went to prison as well. Yes, he did. That's where he got religion, and that's where he sat there and learned the law. And ironically, how he can hold a senator position, isn't it? Or not senator.
No,
senator or something?
No.
He's just a...
No, he's head of the... Federal push.
Okay.
Rainbow push or something.
But needless to say, here's two guys that... Tuwalla Brawley. Remember Tuwalla Brawley?
Oh, gosh, yes.
Al Sharpton. Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson went up there to sit and, all these cops sat there and molested this girl and they did this. It's all a lie. It's always a lie. Don't shoot. Hands up. Come on. Everywhere that they go.
I get a hoot because of the fact that Al Sharpton was on TV the other day. I don't remember whether it was CSNBC, MSNBC, whatever, saying, the president only gave $1 million. And I'm like, well, gee, Al, maybe if you pay
taxes,
your $4 million, you owe the IRS.
$4 million, that's right. $4 million in taxes, yes.
Guys don't pay taxes, and nobody bothers them. How come they're not going back to prison?
And Al Menendez in New Jersey, same thing, corruption and everything else.
Yeah, there you go. Oh, geez, look at, talk about corruption, right? I maybe this is a sidebar on this, but have you guys been watching The Cost of Gas? Houston sits here and gets flooded. We get our oil and gas off the coast of New Jersey, but New Jersey price is almost $3 a gallon there.
Ours is
most
up
places.
Too. Ours jumped up.
Yeah,
35, 40 cents. Yeah.
It's shared.
No, I understand. Yeah. Well, here's the thing. My father-in-law made a point which I personally agree with. He said he realized those 20, 30, 40, 50,000 gallons of gas that's sitting in those tanks underground at those stations, they bought that when it was $1.50 a gallon.
That's right.
And now that they're paying $2 a gallon if they want to refill them, they're selling that at $3 a gallon. So they're getting twice the money on $1.50 a gallon gas.
Yeah, but don't forget who the biggest profiteer on gasoline prices is. The biggest profiteer is the government.
The government. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, yeah, because taxes.
Yeah, really? Because gas That's would right. be a buck a gallon if it wasn't for the taxes.
That's
Absolutely.
Right.
Yeah,
That's
there's
right.
Like my main man, Chris Christie.
I know. He's, he didn't turn out to be the wonder boy everybody thought he was going to be.
No, the guy is a joke.
He is
He is a pure rhino. There's no question about it.
Yes.
Oh, I never even considered him a rhino. I always considered him a
straight Democrat. Yeah.
That's like it. Susan Collins. He's not a rhino. He's not a Republican.
How do you sit there? There's so many things that drive me nuts about states and the lottery. Here, we're going to put in the lottery. Yeah. Pay for the elderly, and we're going to fix the roads, and we're going to do this. Nothing ever gets done, but they're making billions of dollars on the lottery.
That's true.
Where's the money going?
There's one thing I want to just focus on before we wrap this up, because it is getting kind of late here, and that is the NFL again. I mean, we're getting into the first game. It's Thursday. Pats against the Kansas City Chiefs, and we blew it against the Giants last week in the last preseason game. I was not a happy puppy. But what is going on right now in the NFL, and what happened at the Cleveland Browns game, where about six or seven of the players sat out during the national anthem. I don't know if any of you know that. But there has been a lot of blowback because the Cleveland police and the emergency services unions were asked to help with the national anthem, where they have the flag in the middle of the field, and they all hold the flag during the national anthem. And the unions basically told the Cleveland Brown management to go pound sand. Mm-hmm. He said, if you have players who disrespect our flag, our national anthem, we're not going to help you out.
Was it the Texas team or the Atlanta team or somebody turn around and says, if you don't stand for the national anthem, you're out of work?
That is Dallas. That's Dallas. That's Jerry
Dallas,
Jones.
Dallas.
That's Jerry Jones, the owner of Jerry Jones. He said, guess what? It's my team. You stand. I love that man. I love that man. Yes. You know,
people don't listen. They don't realize that when you are a star player or a bench warmer, it doesn't make any difference. You're working for a football team. That's your job. Your boss is your boss. It doesn't matter if it's a football team. It doesn't matter if it's McDonald's. It doesn't matter if it's a funeral home. You have a boss. The boss says, this is how we do it. And if you don't do it the way the boss wants it done, you're out of work. It's that simple.
You know what? Here you go. Personally, I'm not big in sports as far as, you know, football, baseball, stuff like that. I would find it more interesting. And what I'm not interested in is this. The fact is these guys, they're not military people. They've never been in the military. Some of them have.
But they're not the ones that are sitting, Lou. They're not the ones that are sitting.
No.
It's a squad of little brats.
Now you've got that going on. But these guys are making how many millions of dollars a year to sit there and throw a ball around? You got military that are out there getting paid $15,000, $20,000, $30,000 a year to give their life for this country and every other country out there.
So these morons can get paid $5 to $10 million.
Right, and they throw grenades. So why don't we sit there and make the games a little more interesting? Why don't we mind the football
that
field?
Let's
sit there and do that. Let's take the football. The football is on a timer. It's a cord, man. Throws it out, and as soon as that cord pops, that sets the timer up. The receiver's got to make it into the back end to sit there and turn it off.
And every time you get a raise, you don't gain a bit, you lose a bit.
There you go. That works. But, I mean, come on, make it more interesting then. Then now they're worth the $50 million they're getting a year.
Exactly.
All right?
It's pathetic. It really is pathetic.
Like your sport pass is coming up. There I did again. You get these, you got 100,000 guys come back missing arms, legs, and whatever else.
Yes.
Okay, that's just in the past 15 years.
And they got to go crazy.
And they got to sit there and basically have other civilian entities come up with ways of setting their houses up or ways of setting their building up. Come on, what is the matter with the people of this country? I'm sorry, I drove you right back to the Mets because it's my hot spot. That's me. You said we were going to talk about the Mets.
I agree with you, though. I mean, the Vets are getting the short end of the
but
stick.
But it's better. In defense of Secretary Shulkin, they've already made a lot of changes.
They have made a lot of changes. He's fired a lot of people who used to handle this crap.
I got a couple of them fired.
Well, the thing is, he's been addressing this, and he's been addressing the Veterans Choice Act, which the president signed, and so you don't have to go sit yourself Buddhist monk style in the middle of the parking lot. You can just go down to the nearest hospital.
That is horrible.
I actually have a letter that I have drafted up that goes to both Secretary of Defense Mattis, and through him straight on to Donald Trump, President Trump, and they. It actually points out several shortcomings of new implementations. Did you know that there is a veteran hotline, complaint line, right straight into the White House? Did you know that?
No.
Yeah, there is. 800 number. Look it up. Oh. Google it. There's an 800 number to call straight into the White House, and you're supposed to get the top-level non-VA people to sit there and hand a complaint in, and then they have 14 days. Now, this is an irony. When I called and spoke to someone there, I said, okay, 14 days, they're going to pull my file. They're going to sit there, go through it, and see what's been messed up with it. And they're going to call me and go over everything with me, and then together we're going to sit there and address the problem with VA. Yes, exactly. I said, is that 14 days work days? Is that 14 days that
calendar,
you know, days. Calendar days? Or is that 14 days that they feel like working? What 14 days are we talking? Because it's been 3 months and I haven't heard back.
Oh, that's not good.
Now, this is
New
President Hotline, okay? So, there you go with this and Mr. Shulkin. Now, the irony is, my cardiologist is a personal friend of Shulkin's, their bestest buddies. And he said to me, hey, Al, if you really need me to get to him, I'll grab a hold of him in a minute. I said, no, let me try and go through the channels.
Well,
okay?
You can try that, but I think you should, you know, do what you need to do.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, right, exactly.
All right. What else is on the truck board?
Well, you know, I really think we should wrap this up. I mean, we've been going for over an hour and a half now.
You know, oh, my goodness. I thought we had a one-hour time
You're
limit.
You're long
Yes,
lady.
We did have a long one-hour time limit. But we've been going for an hour. Right now, an hour and 42 minutes. We've been booking
goodness.
Folks. I think we're going to have to wrap this up. First thing, I'd like to say, Al, thank you so much for joining us. Boy, you did add a lot. You added a lot. It was nice to get another perspective on the different issues that are going on today. And Lou?
Unfortunately, I wish I had been more up on what's been happening the past couple of weeks, but I only got spot things. You know,
you're fine. It was fine. I thank you so much, really. It was very enjoyable having you on with us.
Hey, Lou. Time.
Hey, Lou, you still you awake?
Yeah, I'm leaning over so I can get to the microphone when I close this up.
All right. You know, hit it, Lou.
God bless the people suffering from Hurricane Harvey. God bless the people that seem to be in the crosshairs of Irma. God bless the president, the first lady, and everyone under their command, their aegis, their areas of responsibility. Our soldiers, sailors, etc., in the United States military forces and in the Cajun Navy. You know, Americans pulling together for Americans, with Americans, by Americans, next to Americans, holding Americans. It just knocks the snot out of the narrative of the left. And I'm kind of pleased with that. And that's it. The only one thing left for me to say, and I say it every time, may God bless the United States of America.
Samson, speak. Good boy.